Amen. Thank you for that. Today we are coming to a place on the Sermon on the Mount where we're nearing the end of the sermon, and Jesus is going to give us some summary statements in this text. And so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Matthew chapter 7, just a few verses today. Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 12, going to verse 14. So hear the word of the Lord for us today. This is Jesus speaking. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." This is God's word for us today. You can sit down. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, as we reflect on these known verses to many of us, I pray that you would open up our hearts in a fresh way, that we would see your word as it is, the very words of God, that we might receive your word and respond to it by the power of your Spirit. We pray that in Christ's name. Amen. Well, we love to get the bottom line on whatever it is in life. We live in a digital age where we're overwhelmed by information on every turn. We get so much information from news about politics. We know what's going around the world as we speak. We even are overwhelmed by our texts on our phone, even so much so that AI thinks I need a summary to tell me the bottom line of what someone is telling me. You who are students know probably what Spark Notes are. When I was a kid, they were called Cliff Notes. This is a great invention. It's something where if you don't have the time or the understanding to read a great work of literature, it's summarized for you. It gives you the bottom line. I still wouldn't know what Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream meant if it wasn't for Cliff Notes, or for you today, Spark Notes. The point is, we love summaries. We love bottom lines. We love the so what. And today, in our passage, Jesus is going to give us the bottom line about the Sermon on the Mount. If you haven't been here for many weeks, this is a great time to be here. If you're visiting, this is a great time to be here, because Jesus is going to summarize for us what he's been teaching us the last number of weeks. And he's going to do so by giving us two summaries, two bottom lines from this sermon. So what are those summaries? The first summary is obey the golden rule. That's the first summary from the Sermon on the Mount. The second summary is this: enter through the narrow gate. But let's think about the first summary. Obey the golden rule. Now, Jesus here is summarizing what he started teaching earlier on in the sermon. If you remember, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, he said, "Do not think I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." You see, the religious leaders at the time, other people thought, well, maybe this new teacher is throwing out the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. He said, no, that's not what I'm doing. I'm actually, the law and the prophets, I'm coming to fulfill them, and I fulfill them myself. They're pointing to me. And then he goes on to say, if you're going to be in the kingdom of God, you have to live with a righteousness that surpasses your religious leaders, the Pharisees. It's a greater righteousness. It's a righteousness that comes from Jesus himself. And he's been summarizing over the last number of weeks as we've gone through it what it means to live with this type of righteousness when it comes to anger, when it comes to lust in situations of divorce, in taking oaths, in retaliation, in loving our enemies, in praying, in fasting, in giving, in judging others. And he is saying this is what it looks like to live that out. And so now, after all of those weeks, the original audience, it wasn't weeks, it was one sermon. Jesus is summarizing. He's coming to a conclusion, and he's giving this summary principle of all that teaching here in verse 12. This is how he puts it. He says, so, or therefore, In light of all that I've just said, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. Now, this is a very common phrase from Jesus. It's not just Christians who know this phrase. Almost everyone in the world has heard this phrase. It's called the Golden Rule. Why is it called the Golden Rule? Well, legend has it that the Roman Emperor Servetus in the 3rd century was so captivated by this principle from Jesus that he etched this saying in gold in the palace, in the temple. And then in the 17th century, some people from England said, this is Jesus' highest rule. It's his golden rule. But many people may know the golden rule, but living it out and knowing why it's there is maybe escaped some people. Most people, when they quote the golden rule, they don't realize that it's linked to the entire Old Testament. They don't read the rest of the verse. And this is what Jesus says. Why should we do this? For this is the law and the prophets. In other words, Jesus is saying, this formula, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. This is a summary of the law and the prophets. If you want to obey and fulfill the law and the prophets, you will live in this way. Paul picks up on this concept in Romans chapter 13. He says, love is the fulfilling of the law. He says the same thing in Galatians 5. The whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus here is giving this main principle, echoed by Paul and others, that this is the key. This golden rule is the key to kingdom living. If you want to know how to live in God's kingdom, you need to live by this rule. So you may be wondering, well, how does that work? How does the golden rule fulfill the law and the prophets? Well, let's just do a test case with 2 of the 10 commandments that Jesus has expounded on in this Sermon on the Mount. So he first talked about commandment number 6, you shall not murder. And most of us are like, okay, yeah, I have not murdered. But Jesus said, it's not just do not murder, do not get angry. So if we're obeying the golden rule with the 6th commandment, we don't like it when other people get angry at us, when other people yell at us, when other people take their frustration out on us. And so if we're obeying the golden rule, we will obey the 6th commandment. Or the 7th commandment Jesus talked about, which is do not commit adultery. So some of us are thinking, okay, yeah, I can't cheat on my spouse. Haven't done that. But Jesus says, it includes lust, lusting after someone else. If we're obeying the golden rule, we will think, well, I don't like it if someone else is treating me as a sexual object, and so therefore I'm not going to do that to someone on a screen or someone that I meet. If we obey the golden rule, we will fulfill the law and the prophets. So you get the point. But what does it look like in real life to obey the golden rule, to live it out? It means that we do not treat people in kind in the way that they have treated us, especially when they have treated us poorly. It means that we don't treat them as they deserve. Instead, it means that we think about how we might want to be treated, and then we go proactively and do that to them. As I was thinking about this concept, a man came to my mind. It's a man who really I benefited from this man's generosity. He doesn't live here. He's one of the most generous men I've ever met. And he transformed not only my life, but many individuals' life through his generosity. He also transformed institutions through his generosity. And one time I went up to this man and I said, well, what motivates you? Why do you do what you do? And his response was this. He said, well, I look at a situation. When I become aware of a situation, I think about what would I want to be done in that situation, and then I just go and do it. This guy was living his entire life by the golden rule, and it transformed other lives around and was a great witness to Christ and the community around. So very practically, I want to encourage you this week. If you are a follower of Christ, I want you to think about times when you have been blessed by somebody else, When you have been encouraged by somebody else, it might be a word, it might be a deed, it might be an act of generosity. When was a time when you were particularly touched or loved or cared for by somebody else? I would even encourage you to write that down. And then take that list, take that template, and apply those things to everyone you meet. This is not just for those who love us. Jesus is saying, do to others as you would want them to do unto you. Do that for everybody. It's not just for the person you like. It's for the person you don't like. It's for your coworker. It's for the neighbor that might be a little bit cranky. It's for those that are not so lovable. But we need to remember, this isn't just a homework assignment from the pastor. This is the way of life for a Christian. This is not something that we just try on for size. This is something that Jesus says, if you're in the kingdom, this is how you will live. And if you're living this way, you will fulfill what we've talked about thus far in the Sermon on the Mount. But something happens when we try to live this out. What we find is that we run into ourselves. We run into our selfishness. Sometimes we don't want to serve as we have been served. Sometimes we don't even feel like we have the power to serve and to do to others as they have done to us. If we truly want to obey this golden rule, if we want to obey from the heart, we will quickly find out that this is impossible. Yes, we can kind of do it on a surface level, but if we are obeying this from the heart, we will quickly realize we need help outside of ourselves. We need a different righteousness, an alien righteousness, Christ's righteousness, because there's only one person in the history of the world who truly lived out this principle, and that is Jesus Christ. And what did it look like for him? It looked like giving up his very life for us, so that we could live with him forever, so we could be forgiven of our sins. And so if we want to live out the golden rule, we need to trust in Jesus. It leads us to the second summary of the Sermon on the Mount Jesus gives us in our text, and it's found at the beginning of verse 13. He says this, "Enter through the narrow gate." You see, the whole Sermon on the Mount has been about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So he's talking about how do we enter the kingdom of heaven. And he says there's only one of two ways. There's two ways that you can go. There's two gates, there's two roads. Later on he's going to say there's two fruits, there's two foundations. We'll get to that in the next weeks. But here he says there's two gates and two roads. So listen to what he says at the rest of verse 13. "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it by it are many." So we see the first reason that we should enter through the narrow gate is because if we go to the wide gate, it is a treacherous road. Now there is a freeway in Texas. It's in Houston, Texas. It's called the Katy Freeway. It's known to be the widest road in the entire world. It's 26 lanes across at its widest point. That's including like side roads and everything. 26 lanes of freeway. Jesus here is saying that many, if not most people, are on a Katy Freeway type road. It's the popular road. It's the common road that most people are on. But the thing about this road is it is leading to destruction. It is leading to death. And not just physical death, spiritual death. And so the most dangerous part of this wide and easy road is that no one seems to know or to care what the destination is. D.A. Carson rightly says this. He says, "The tragedy is that otherwise reasonable men become so enamored with the spaciousness and popularity of their path that they take little thought to its destination." Friends, that describes the average person in our world today. They're not thinking about where the road that they're on is headed, where their life is headed, what's going to happen when they die. Sometimes people even think of this as a joke. It's entertainment to us. One example of that is one of the most popular songs of all time. I just learned this week it's number 258 out of 500 songs, according to Rolling Stones. What song is that? Highway to Hell by AC/DC. It's one of the most popular songs of all time of the last 40 years or so. Listen to just a few of the lyrics from this song. It kind of typifies many people in the way they live their life. Living easy, loving free. Season ticket on a one-way ride. Taking everything in my stride. Don't need a reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing I'd rather do. Going down, party time. My friends are going to be there too. I'm on the highway to hell. Highway to hell. I'm on the highway to hell. This, friends, is one of the most popular songs that our world has produced in the Western world in the last 40 years. It might be a popular song, but there is nothing funny about the highway to hell. There is nothing entertaining about the highway to hell. Because in the Bible, when Jesus talks about hell, this is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is a place where God's presence is only there to punish, not to bless. This is a place where there is nothing good. There's no friends in hell. There's nothing you would desire in hell. It's worse than your worst nightmare in an unending way. And yet Jesus says, this is the very road that is most traveled by people in our world, by many people in our world today. It's the default road that we set out on when we're born in our sinful nature. It's the road of self-sufficiency. It's the road of self-righteousness. It's the road that when we think we can determine truth and what is right and wrong and how to use our bodies and that we are God, this is the road of our world. It is the coexist bumper sticker. This is the way of our world. It's the easy path. It's the popular path. It's the politically correct path. It's the path of least resistance. And it's the path most people are on. And Jesus says this path is headed for destruction. Now, you might be thinking, like, why is that the case? Why are so many people on this wide road leading to destruction? Well, the Bible tells us in various places. In John 3, we're told that people love darkness rather than the light. They don't want to come to the light and repent and believe in Jesus because they love their deeds and they know they're evil. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, it says the God of this world has blinded the eyes of unbelievers that they might not see the glory of Christ. People are walking spiritually blind down this road to destruction. Romans chapter 1 says that because we worship the creature rather than creator, God has given us over to our own sinful desires. We have become callous and we're starting to worship the creature, not the creator, and we're suffering the consequences. So this is the path that most people that you meet in this world are on. This is the path that you will be enticed to go on, and you will be regularly tempted to join, even as one who knows and loves Jesus. And when that happens, friends, we must take Proverbs 1:10 to heart, that when sinners entice you, do not consent. So why should we enter through the narrow gate? The first reason is because the other gate leads to destruction. It's a wide gate. It's an easy path, but it leads to eternal death. Well, then we get to the other part, and it says, how do we get on this narrow gate? What's the other reason to enter through the narrow gate? Verse 14, for the gate is narrow, and the way is hard, that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So why should we enter through the narrow gate? We should enter through the narrow gate because this is the gate that leads to life, to eternal life. There's only one way to enter life, to enter eternal life, and it's by going through the narrow gate. And we learn from Scripture that this gate is not a thing, it's a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one way to enter life. There is only one narrow gate, and that is Jesus Christ. And through trusting in Jesus, that's the only way that you can enter this narrow gate. But going through this gate doesn't mean life is going to be easy. Jesus says the road is hard. This word translated hard could also mean full of afflictions or trials or persecutions. That means if we trust in Jesus, life isn't gonna always be easy. In fact, we can expect difficulty. It's not the road that everyone's on. It's the road that's least traveled. So if you're a Christian and right now you are feeling lonely at work, or you're feeling like you're going against the flow in life with all your friends and other people, good. That means you are on the narrow road. If you're along with everyone else, you should be alarmed. Now, I talked about the Katy Freeway, 26 lanes. There's another road that the Guinness Book of World Records says is the smallest or the narrowest road in the entire world. It's found in Rutlingen, Germany. I can't pronounce the street name. It's too German. But at its widest point, it's just a foot and a half. It's a foot and a half. It's basically like an alley, but somehow they called it a street and it got a world record. But it's a foot and a half, and you can see pictures of it online. And if you go to this street in Rutlingen, Germany, you're not holding hands with everybody going, singing Kumbaya down this road. You're kind of going sideways, and you're scooting by. It's hard to find this road. You kind of have to find it on a map. You'll miss it. You have to be seeking for it. You have to go in one by one. And friends, entering through the narrow gate is like that. Trusting in Jesus is not a group activity. We have to go one by one into the kingdom. Each one of us has to trust in Christ. So you may come from a faithful family of Christ followers, but have you trusted in Christ? You may come from a great church like Hope Fellowship, but have you trusted in Christ? Have you gone through the narrow gate? Are you on the hard road? If we trust in Christ, we will go through the narrow gate. But you may be thinking, well, what about Jesus when he says a little bit later in Matthew, I thought his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This says the way is hard. Which is it? It's a good question that I raised for us. The answer is both. Yes, when we come to Jesus, he is a good master. Sin is not a good master. Jesus is a good master. He takes away our sin. He gives us his righteousness. He loves us. He gives us joy unimaginable. It's how we're intended to live. It is the best life possible. It gives us rest in our souls. But this is not an easy way. This is not an easy life. Scripture says that all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. So friend, if you are going through something hard right now because you are a Christian, you should rejoice. That's a good thing. If you're going through trials and hardships, this is part of God's plan for your life. Not until heaven will we have the absence of all of those things. His yoke is easy and his burden is light, but the way is hard that leads to life. There are difficulties on this road. It is a windy road. We have to trust our Savior as we're on it. Well, this passage shows us that to obey the golden rule, we can't do it on our own. We first must enter through the narrow gate. We must have Jesus' righteousness, his power to live in this way. We cannot do the Sermon on the Mount on our own. If you leave this series and you think, I just got a lot of to-dos out of this, you've missed the point. Jesus is offering his own righteousness as we surrender our lives to him, as we admit our spiritual bankruptcy, and we go through the narrow gate on the hard road. And only then will we have the power to love others as we want to be loved. But as we think about obeying the golden rule, think about who first shared Christ with you. Got that person in your mind. Now think about someone that you know who doesn't know Christ, what is the best thing that you could ever do to them that has been done to you? It's share Christ with that person. Of course, we want to give them money and food and love them in different ways. But friends, I wonder if you have grown callous and hardened to those who are on the wide road. Those that are your neighbors and friends and family members who are going off a cliff without knowing it. Have you become complacent? Maybe today you have to ask God for his heart for the lost, for those who are on the wide road. And maybe today you are realizing, I actually am on that wide road. If that's you today, turn from your sin. Jesus' arms are open to you. He wants you to come to him, and he will give you life if you surrender your life to him. Well, kingdom living is not easy. In fact, it's impossible apart from a new heart. It's impossible apart from God's power within us. So I wonder today, are you on the narrow, hard road? Are you one who knows Jesus, or are you on the wide path? If you're on the wide path, turn to Jesus. If you're on the narrow road, how can you love others in the way that you have been loved? How can you do to others as you would want them do to you, especially in sharing the way to the narrow road, the narrow gate, the hard path? The stakes are high. It's a matter of eternal life and eternal death. Which are you going to choose? Let's pray. Father in heaven, these are familiar verses to many of us, and perhaps we've been convicted in the past, and yet again today, you're bringing to our minds ways that you're calling us to live differently. For some of us, we need to get through the narrow gate. We haven't trusted in you. For those who are in that spot today, I pray, Lord, today would be the day they surrender their life, seeing Jesus for who he is as their Savior. Trust in him. For others of us, Lord, we are on that hard path. We have gone through the narrow gate, and we love you. And yet, Lord, if we're honest, perhaps not living according to this rule. Help us, Lord. Help us to repent in that way and move forward on the path. Others of us, Lord, are on this hard road, and we feel it every day. Lord, encourage those in this circumstance. Help them to press on to the prize which you have called them to in Christ Jesus. Lord, we're grateful that you are so loving that you would tell us these paths. You would show us how to live, and then you would do what it takes so that we can live in this way because of Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf. And so, Lord, I pray these things in Christ's name, that we would fulfill your word as you're calling us to. In his name, amen.